Did I come up early? I did. I came up early. You know what? We like to keep people on their toes around here, especially, see, we say things like that, and what that means is I made a mistake, so we're just gonna move on with that. Tonight, as we gather together, I want to begin my talk tonight with actually celebrating communion. You have, as you came in, you were given, and if you weren't, if we've got the ushers in the back that have those, if you want one of those, just kind of wave at them. Our little communion packets. We also gave you a little bag with some unleavened crackers in it for this evening. If you're here this morning, you know why that's funny. But tonight, we have watched as 10 people declared their faith in Jesus Christ, said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I've made that decision, and now I want to proclaim that. This is one of the two ordinances that Jesus Christ gave the church. The other is communion. The other is that we are supposed to, as we gather together and we've decided it's time to do it, we are to pause. You know, this morning we talked about stopping and remembering. That's what communion is. Communion is an intentional stopping of all the busyness, of all the craziness, of all the things that are going on in our lives, taking a deep breath and saying, okay, God, is there something you need to tell me? The Bible says that the Apostle Paul, as he gave instructions, he says, when you do this, you need to take an account of where you are, where you're standing with God is. And so tonight, as we begin this process of preparation for communion, I want to challenge you to take a moment and open your heart to God and ask the question, God, is there anything that's between you and I? Is there anything that's causing an issue between the two of us? Because the Bible says, as a follower of Jesus Christ, if you eat of the bread, if you drink of the cup in a manner that's unworthy, you are literally bringing upon yourself condemnation or further pulling away from God. And God, Paul says, I don't want that for you. If there is sin in your life, if there are issues that you're struggling with, if there's pride, arrogance, if there's issues that you're dealing with in your marriage with someone that you love, if it's other types of things, you go, man, there are significant areas in my life. My challenge to you is before we take this tonight, just in the quietness of this moment, that you pause, you say, God, I recognize that. It doesn't mean that from this point forward you're going to be perfect. There's only been one perfect person ever, and his name was Jesus Christ. Everybody else has fallen way short. The Bible says that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and none of us are worthy of God's mercy and grace, but yet he extends it anyways through his perfect son, Jesus Christ, on his death on the cross. And so tonight, as we do this, I want to encourage you to share with me, if you take your bread, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he commissioned this, it was actually during Passover. If you were here this morning, we explained a little bit what Passover was. And he actually gathered with his disciples for the Passover feast. And the Bible says that he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, this represents my body. The Bible says that the body of Jesus Christ was beaten and bruised for us, but yet not a single bone was broken, which is amazing when you think about that. But the reason that it was is because God wanted his lamb to be perfect. So no broken bones whatsoever. So Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. He prayed over it. Then he handed it out to them. He said, this is my bread. This is my body, which is for you. Take it and eat it. The Bible says that then he took the wine. Now, wine has long been a symbol of God's blessing, believe it or not. If you grew up in a really, really super conservative church, you're like, oh, the Bible says that actually, that wine is one of the things that God has given to man. It's a blessing. But with that, as we move forward into the New Testament, when Jesus Christ referred to it, he referred to it as, this is a representation of my blood. This is my blood, which I willingly pour out for you. The Old Testament says that there can be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. You go, why? Why can't God forgive sins without something having to die? Well, the Bible says that sin and the results of the payment of sin or the wages of sin is death. And so each and every one of us, as we have sinned, we have the mark or the penalty of death on us. And so what Jesus Christ did is he went to the cross and he stood in your place. He stood as your substitute for your payment for sin. And so Jesus Christ said, listen, what I'm about to do, I do for you. And this represents my blood, which I willingly pour out for you, which is the payment or the price for your sins. Take it and drink it in remembrance of me. This morning, we talked about a passage in the book of John, book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, God told the people of Israel to do something unique. They had crossed through the Jordan River at the most tumultuous time. The river was as wide, potentially, as the Mississippi. The current was unbelievable. It was impassable and impossible. God literally took the entire nation to a situation, to the edge of a situation that was impassable and impossible. And yet God provided a way. God broke through and he created that. And then he says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, he says, he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan. Joshua is telling the people, conveying the message of God. Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up a stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. And in the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? By the way, let's pause for just a second. You as a parent are responsible for the spiritual maturity and growth of your kids. The church is not. Just putting that out there. Because we're here to help you do what God's called you to do. You go, well, why don't my kids know this? Take some time and teach them. You go, well, I don't know it. That's what we're here for. We're here to help you understand that so that you can convey and communicate that to your kids. Because God's put that on your shoulders. He says, listen, when your kids go, what's up with the 12 stones? He goes, teach them. Teach them what I did. He says, then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. And we talked about the three things that we were doing, the three purposeful but temporary changes that we're making to kind of put this Jubilee idea into perspective for us. We're doing a more minimal calendar, about half of what we did last year intentionally to do that. We've actually laid out the entire calendar for all the planners that hyperventilate about things that are 6 months away, and we put it on a refrigerator magnet. It'll be ready for you in a couple weeks, and you can put that on your thing, and you can just rest easy. You can throw away your planner now and just enjoy the rest of the year in doing that. Talk about our seasonal series, how usually we change from month to month what we're going to be talking about, but we're going to spend the first 3 months of the year talking about building a life that matters. The three areas of life that God talks more about than anything else in the Bible: your spiritual life, your financial life, and your relational life. We believe that God has called each of us as believers to embrace the reality that God wants us to be spiritually deep or growing deeper all the time. You never reach the pinnacle of spirituality. The moment that you think that you've got it all figured out spiritually is the moment that you realize you absolutely know nothing, because God continues to teach us. Financially stable, that we know how to handle the things and the blessings that God has given us, and relationally satisfied, that as best and as much as it is up to us, the relationships that we have fit together. And then the last thing we talked about was an intentional pause. For that season-long series from January 1st to April 2nd, we're going to do one service and gather together in here. And quite frankly, it's going to probably be the last time ever that we can do that. Because as we grow, we're just not going to have space to do it. So it's going to be just kind of a fun time for us to work through these things and process through them and get excited. And we've still got some room, obviously, to grow. We're never going to turn anyone away at any point in time, because that's not what we're about at Friendship Church. And so one of the things I think it's important for us to do as we move into this, and we do this every year, is take a deep breath and look back and ask the question, what has God done for us? And so I want to lay out some things for you. First of all, in 2016, God has allowed us to see 23 people come to know Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing. 21 of those are adults, by the way. That's crazy, okay? That really is. Usually it's like, hey, we've like, you know, 34 people that got saved and 30 of them were kids. And, you know, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But what an amazing year this year we've had, seeing so many adults cross the line of faith and take that step of faith. So far in 2016, we've seen 36 people be baptized, go through the waters of baptism. to celebrate what God has done. This year, it's been kind of cool to watch. In 2016, we've averaged 370 people each weekend through the two services and doing that. And that's growth from last year. And as we look at that, that's continued. And we're excited about that because every single person that comes, we have an opportunity to influence. We have an opportunity to encourage, to help them be able to take those steps of faith. But as I got doing this, and if you were in the first service, I said this, I forgot to mention it in the second service, but I gave the elders in our last elders meeting some statistics that unleavened bread is still in my mouth. I'm just saying. Some statistics of the last 6 years at Friendship. And I want to share those with you because when I share them with the elders, they're like, what? All together. It was really cool. Since 2010, at Friendship, we have grown by 170% growth. Now that's from about 130 people to over 370 people in 6 years. That is because that's not like you guys must have done great advertising. No, we don't have the money to advertise again. We'd like to, but it's not. It's all through people talking to people. It's friends inviting friends who invite friends who invite friends who invite friends. It's a crazy and unbelievable thing. From 2010 to 2016, our giving growth has gone up 116%, which is, again, an amazing thing. And I was like, okay. But that, your giving makes what we do at Friendship Church happen. It's just a reality of our world. And every dollar that comes in goes to the mission and the vision of Friendship Church and reaching people for Jesus Christ as we attempt to glorify God as an effective and influential church. Now, I know that some people will say, well, those are numbers. We're not supposed to care about numbers. I disagree. If you've been here for a while, you know why I disagree, because every number has a name. Every name has a story, and every story matters to God. Every story matters to God. We could spend probably hours, each of us, telling our story and how we came to know Jesus Christ and how we did this and how we did that. And we might not have a pile of stones to point to about God's faithfulness, but we've got a building full of people with changed lives that point to the faithfulness of God. And that is an amazing thing. Anytime I get a little discouraged or start worrying about things not going the right way, I pause and I look back. I remember the way things were, what we did, how we did absolutely, what we did with absolutely nothing. The fact that God has almost tripled the amount of people that we minister to every weekend in just six short years. It's an amazing thing. Many of you have been here for that long and you've seen it happen, and it's a little overwhelming at times. But I believe that the best is yet to come. As much as we look back and we celebrate, we're excited. I believe that if we are faithful to His calling, if we keep Jesus front and center, if we love people the way that Jesus loves people, and we continue to glorify God as an effective and influential church, that the best is yet to come. Now, in years past, this would typically be the point where I'd go, okay, folks, I have a list of four goals for us to look at 2017. Since God has said, I want you to rest, this goal-oriented individual is taking a deep breath and going, you know what? We're not going to put any goals out this year. We're not necessarily going to throttle back. We're not necessarily going to stop. We're not necessarily going to do it. But you know what? We're just going to allow God to do what God's going to do with no expectations, because often when we unleash the expectations of God, He exceeds the expectations that we had in the first place. So, this year, no goals. We're not going to put anything out there. Nothing that we have to remember 6 months from now to talk about. I do want to talk about something, though, because I think it's important. It's not a goal, it's not a plan, it's not anything like that, but I want to encourage you to be doing something this year, because I think in our life as a church, this particular area is incredibly important. I want you to be praying for our student ministry team and our student ministry. Every single weekend and on Wednesday nights, we have a team of people that minister between 40 and 50 5th through 12th graders every single weekend. Now, most of you probably never see them. The teens, the 7th through 12th graders, meet on Wednesday nights. It's called Riot. We have teams that are involved and engaged in volunteering, inviting their friends and all those different things. We've got a great team that does that. During the 11 o'clock service on Sunday mornings, we've got a couple of couples that lead the 5th and 6th grade, the Ignite. And those people need, like, gifts and coffee and all the time because 5th and 6th graders, praise God, love them. But every single Sunday and Wednesday night, we minister to up to 50 teenagers and preteens. And you know, it's an amazing thing because quite frankly, in our world, that is probably the area that is most under attack. And so, you know, my challenge to you this year is to be praying for that ministry, to be praying for the people who are doing that, who are leading that. And I think it's powerful that when we look at the book of Joshua, that God says, listen, so when your children ask you, what are you going to tell them? And so we want to come alongside every parent of a teenager or a preteen, and we want to equip you. We want to lay the foundation. We want to lay the groundwork for you to be the absolute greatest spiritual father and mother that you could possibly be to the kids that God's given you. And so we've got a team of people that have been doing that. They've been doing it faithfully, oftentimes behind the scenes, often feeling like the forgotten group as no one knows that they're around and what they're doing. But you know, we have in the past invested heavily in time and effort and all that ministry dollars and all those things, and I believe wisely in children's ministry. And I believe that's why our children's ministry is the way that it is, where they minister to 100 kids every single weekend. That, wow, okay? I know they had like 8 or 9 infants in there one of the services the last couple of weeks with two people changing diapers. Woohoo! The reason I know that is my daughter's one of them, so she's like, Dad. But you know what? I believe that we need to continue that. I believe that it's time for us to really start thinking about and processing through and leveraging ourselves to continue building on that foundation that we've laid all the way up through high school. So that these kids, as they move on from high school to college or career, whatever they're going to do, that they have the foundation that they need to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. I think it's like some 75% of teenagers that grow up in a Christian home and go to church once they reach their mid-20s. They don't go to church at all anymore. It's an amazing number. And we don't want that to be the case. We want to actually be a church that reaches generation after generation after generation. That the kids reach their kids and their kids and their kids. We believe that's important. Now, they may not all stay here, and that's okay. We encourage them to grow up and have their lives and do that stuff, but we want them to be connected to Christ. And so I'm asking you to commit to praying for this group of people that have given up their time and their energy to be able to do that. And I want to give you their names. I'm going to have them come up in a little bit, but I want to give you their names really quickly so that you can be fresh and maybe know most of them. I know for Ignite, Josh and Melissa Miller and Jim and Julie Russall have been leading that team. For Riots, Cole and Morgan Johnson and Maddie Straubinger and Caitlin Crandall, my daughter, and Ashley Kelly. And Grant and Violet's not on right now because she's got a little baby, so we let her stay home, so that's okay. But Grant and Violet Short, Patrick Miller, Blake Bear, and then we've got some people that are just filling the gap until somebody else can step in. Dustin's been coming in and helping lead the band. I've been coming in and help teaching and kind of laying some of the strategic foundation and that type of thing. Don comes in and plays drums. Tracy comes in and leads small groups. We just got people all over the place who are coming in because we're invested in that, but I want to bring that to the forefront because I want you to see that. And I want you to know that as a church, as we're looking at that, one of the things that we want to do is that this is a great team, but you know, every team needs a great leader. And so as we move forward as a church, that's really kind of our next phase, is we want to be able to bring someone in who can take that ministry and take it to the next level and do great things for God, laying the foundation to do for those kids to be able to be ready to be all that God's called them to be, because we want to serve every area and every generation, not just one specific generation. So I'm going to ask tonight, if you're a leader either in Ignite or Riot, I'm going to ask you to come right up front. I'm going to embarrass you for just a second because you can stand up here. Everyone can see who you are. Just come on up. I know. So you're like, I just baptized someone. I'm all wet and sweaty. So am I, and I'm up here talking. Come on. Because I want you to see who they are. Because these are people that are on the front lines of what God is doing and how God is working in and through our world. And I want you to have a visual picture of who they are so that you can be praying for them, so that you can lift them up in prayer when you sit at your dining room table and you have a meal with your family or with your kids or whatever the case may be. I want you to think about them. Because these are people that are giving up their Wednesday nights. Not like there's anything great on Wednesday nights, but hey, they're giving up their Wednesday nights. And they're giving up their Sunday afternoons, and they're giving up different days of the week to be able to do things with these kids because they love them. They're not doing it because, like, they get thanked all the time, because a lot of times they get forgotten about. They're not doing it because they get paid well. We pay in, like, Kit Kats and Monster drinks. That's pretty much it. That's kind of the scope of it. And occasionally, you know, McDonald's coffee. But that's about it. So I want you to be thinking about them. I want you to be praying about them. And I want you to be praying that God would allow us at some point in time in the future to be able to bring someone along who can do that. Maybe God's calling you to go, man, I want to be a part of this team. I want to help reach kids for Jesus Christ and to be able to do that. So what I'd like to do is as we close tonight, I'd like to pray for the people that are up here. So I'd like to ask you, if you would stand right where you are. And this may feel really, really weird, but it's okay. We like making ourselves uncomfortable around here. So I want you to, if you've got somebody in front of you, you've got somebody close to in front of you, I want you to move around, just kind of put your hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you, okay? Just kind of do that. So that means, like, from the back to the front, everyone's got their hand on the person, shoulder of the person in front of them. They're like, man, they're hot. It's okay. It's okay. And Patrick's got to go back because he's got to turn on the soundboard. So that's all right. Thanks, Patrick. But here's what I'm going to ask us to do. We're just going to pray together tonight for this group of people, and then we're going to close. And we're just going to turn it loose and tear the roof off this place as we worship God. So let's pray together and do that this night. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for how you've blessed us as a church. And God, we thank you how you specifically blessed us with people who are willing to give their time, their energy, and their effort to connect and relate to teenagers, to people who often feel forgotten, who feel like they're not important, that their needs don't really matter. And God, these people up here, they've invested so much time in making them feel loved. And I want to thank you for them. They are an absolute blessing to us as a church. And I pray, God, that we would, as a church body, come around them and hold them up in prayer. That when we see them, we would ask, hey, how's it going? What can we be praying for? So that people know what's going on. And God, I pray that whenever you would call to do it, that God, you would bring along someone who can take this team and lead them into the next phase of what you've called us to do as a church. As we reach teenagers for Jesus Christ and we build a ministry that glorifies you as effective and influential in changing the entire demographic idea of what teenagers think about God on the south side of Indianapolis. Because God, we know that every church is just one generation away from extinction. And God, if we don't continue to reach down and lift up and teach up, we're just biding our time. And God, we don't want that. So we thank you for this group of people. We thank you for their love. We thank you for their patience. We thank you for their grace and their ability to relate to teenagers in a way that most of us can't. And we thank you for that. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.